not worry about the great conferences of this world and all of the seemingly great things and actions and the movers and shakers of this earth. For when they do and make treaties, in a little while the treaties are broken and forgotten. But the things which the people of God are doing, their hearts are indicting a good matter. Amen. If it's just two, if it's just three, and you go in with a sincerity of heart and you've been holding on for years and years, and it looks like nobody is going to come, but you just hold on. You're there. You're there. You're his witness. You are his witness. You are his testimony in that city. And if you give up, then you'll be gone. So that when the Lord shall come and look on that town and that city, he can say, I've got two or three there that have not bowed down. We have never looked for the crowd, though it makes us happy when they come in large numbers. Because I saw how this thing happened long time ago when Jesus was blessing the fish and loaves and was feeding the folks. It was a crowd out there. But then it came down to the upper room and was just 120. But you shall not escape if you neglect so great a salvation. You know, the Lord told the children of Israel, he made them a promise that he would take them out of the house of bondage, and he's going to take them out of the of that land where they were. But one thing he said to them, among others, he said, now, you shall not have any other gods before me. He says, now, I'm going to do this for you, but you can't neglect me. If you neglect me now, it's going to be something else here. That thou shalt not have any other gods before me. He's just not going to do that. He's just not going to be satisfied. And when you have anybody or anything that you love more than you love God, any more than you love the truth, then God is going to both destroy you and it. It says to them in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. See, as long as you don't neglect me, nothing is going to happen to you that's going to destroy you. But even if you die, you're going to live again. You just have no problem. Whatever the problem seems to be, if you don't neglect your salvation, everything I have is thine. But now if you neglect your salvation, you shall receive nothing from me. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. Oh, I'm going to get it all together. Yes, I am. I will get folks that you've never seen, and get my church all together. For unto me shall the gathering of the people be. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Tell the north, you got to come. Oh, yes. And tell the east, they've got to come. And the west, they have to come. And now we're in the south, and you got to come. Oh, you can't hold back south. Says, I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Those who are called by my name, those who are sincere and honest of heart, they're going to hear this. And we're going to do all in our power in our time. We're not going to neglect our salvation, because it is our job to see that they hear it, to see and to know and to learn of him. And of course, anyone that is interested in this, then there's always room for you. There's a place for you. But now when you are not interested in this salvation, I would tell you something sincerely. It is nothing I have, and God is my judge. Nothing I can get. I'm thankful for what God has done, but you know what means the most to me? It's my salvation. This church. This is my first love. And everything else comes after that. And when you neglect this thing, when you neglect this salvation, when you neglect this truth, when you become unconcerned about what we are doing, then there becomes a gulf between me and you. But now when you hold this thing dear to your heart and let it be first, then we become close. Folks talking about such and such a one is close to the bishop. You don't know what you're talking about. They think that stuff, the devil makes you with your little jealous, green-eyed self sit up there and think that. The only folks that is close to me and could only be close to me is those who have not neglected their salvation. I may not have the opportunity to come and sit with you or even to shake your hand in your lifetime. I wished I could, and try to press toward me so that you will. But even if that never happens, we may not ever get a chance to personally say praise the Lord one to another. That's why on the broadcast I begun saying to all the saints everywhere, praise the Lord, so that I get a chance to speak to all of you. Even if you're not at the church doing the making of the broadcast, when you hear it on the air, and I say praise the Lord to you, don't ignore me now. Say praise the Lord back to me when you're sitting home. Yeah. Don't neglect me now. Because when you begin to neglect the man of God, then something terrible is going to happen to you, you know. You can't touch God's anointed or do his prophet any harm. So when you hear it over the air, whatever you're doing, stop and say, praise the Lord. Yeah. One of the ways I have in communicating with you, I write letters to you, I talk to you over the broadcast, I preach to you in the church, and when we have time, I see you in the office, or when you're walking by, I'll shake your hand and say, praise the Lord, or when you're having divine healing service, I'll come and communicate with you this way, by touching you. And this is a direct communication with the power of God going from me to you. We pray for heaven to come, and through the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands, that the power of God will come through your body, so that whatever you've done, if any is sick among you, that they'll recover. And then if any have sinned, that their sins will be blotted out. Whatever way we, if by any means, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the thing that occupies my mind. Before I come to preach, and folks said, wonder where is Bishop? Bishop's walking around trying to say, Lord, what am I going to say? Folks see all these things up there and they declare, I got a manuscript, I man you nothing. Sometimes I have a few scriptures or some broadcast announcements, some scriptures typed out big so I can see them well. And then even those, I look at them. I say, no, that's not it. And then I have to just come on. Because the broadcast is on. Church is starting. Got to come on and say, what you going to say? And wouldn't you think that I would say, well, to myself, say, well, you've gone before. Every time you got something, but the Lord has it just that way. Every time before I go, I say, Lord, what's going to happen? Each time, what will I say? See, it keeps you so that you never get beside yourself, you know. You never get to the place where you just figure that you can make it without him. Every time I have not made a one, I've never made a one that I haven't had to feel after it and pull after it and say, what am I going to say now? What am I going to do? Every time. And I would not have it any other way. Wouldn't have it any other way. And as I was coming along, someone was saying about neglecting your salvation. And I was putting on something else, and something else came, said, don't have any other gods before me. And I didn't know what I was going to do with those to put them together. The Lord was speaking out of the Word, and he'll always come and speak to you out of the Word. And then at the time when you have to use the Word, then it starts working up in you. All of the study that I have done, and I told the saints this when I started out, when Bishop Johnson died and all of the things that were happening in the church at once, there wasn't a book I had read other than the Bible that helped me. Every day I had to learn of him each day as to what direction I would take. Every time I thought I had one problem solved, the next day I had to ask again. And that's the way God wants us, so that we won't become so independent. And he knows in this lack of independence, it's all right to be independent, naturally speaking, if you got good sense. Because you know, some folks, when they get independent, then naturally speaking, they are a mess to deal with. Oh, Lord. Have you ever met anybody who thought they may have made it? Paid for their house? Of course, the Bible even talks about a man that was like that. So he going to build him some, he going to build him some new barns here. He's going to enlarge himself. Yeah, it's going to enlarge his borders, that things are going good here. When you find folks, naturally speaking, that feel too much independence, they become like little gods. And the Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me. You know, folks hear about when they have the reports and they say, oh my, listen to all of that money coming in. But they never look at the fact that you're building another church, buying another one. We have Delaware. They're working on Delaware, and they finished most of the brick masonry. And that was over $10,000. Even with some of the brothers volunteering to work. And Delaware raised close to between $30,000 and $40,000. And just about all of that is gone now. And they wrote to me and asked me, said, now what shall we do? Said, shall we put the roof on or shall we hold off until the weather breaks and said to see what happens? And I wrote them back. They haven't got it yet, but I'm telling them now. I told them to go ahead and put the roof on, and then we'll see what happens after that. Who knows what's going to happen? Then we'll continue on. When it's not there, we have Baltimore have to buy another church there because of urban renewal. Charlotte, I think we looked at one and we're trying to negotiate one there in Charlotte. We have Durham, which I have the papers for in Durham. And I mean, those folks mean business. I was hoping against hope. See, I was hoping against hope. I said, well, the president we have now, he's not too interested in a lot of public works, and at first I didn't like that too much, you know. But then it came to being involving my church and with urban renewal, then I started liking it a little bit, you know. I said, you know, he didn't want to have too many programs like the buildings of clearing of the slum areas and the this and the other, what have you. So I said, well, this thing might be good for me. I said, I better thank the Lord for it. So I thought that the places where they were going to have the urban renewal, that perhaps they wouldn't get the money. Perhaps the money wouldn't be appropriated. And we could stay there. Because I had decreased the debt from the time that I came in. And it was beautiful. Just about everything was just about paid for. And oh my, was I thanking the Lord. But see, the Lord don't want it like that. Woe unto them that be at ease in Zion. See, he's going to see to it that I just don't sit down in a rocking chair and have it easy. So now that things were getting calm, so he said, well, see, Charlotte was already paid for. I said, what are we going to do? We're going to take away Charlotte. I looked at that church when I was in Charlotte. That place looked better than ever.
Amen.
I never knew how beautiful it was. I knew it was nice, but I sat there and I looked and I said, do you mean to say they're going to tear this beautiful place down? And the lawyer came, and the man even from Urban Renewal came to see me. And I talked to the man in the office and see, was there any chance? He says, well, they already have the title. And they've given you 90 days. And if you stay here after 90 days, you're going to have to pay those folks rent. But nevertheless, we're like Jesus was when he was going to the cross. And he was God. And he is God. You know what he said? Said, if this thing be possible, said, just let this cup pass. So let this thing go. But knowing that to that end he was born, to that end he had come into the world. And we have to continue on and continue on. And after you reach one height and you think that you have it all calm and peaceful, you know, in the Old Testament church, when they went into the land and everything was peaceful and the fruit was good to eat and everything was, they didn't have anybody else to fight. You know what those folks did? They got fat and backslid.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And people wonder, they say, oh, they say, Bishop said, pray, because there's so much argument and conflict and confusion. It's going to always be like that. And after that gets smoothed out, you might rest for a little season. You hear me what I say? And after that, it's back to war again. What you think? Instead of fight, what? The good fight. Said, Bishop, said, I don't know why she said that about me, or I don't know why he said that, or why he did that. I've never did anything to him. I never did anything to her. You don't know why? It comes so that you can fight the good fight of faith to knock you from your complacency, to wake you up from that sleep in which you are lulled, to get a step in your feet, to get a little pep in your step. You've been dragging long enough. Wake thou that sleepeth. Now, some folks, as they get up in age, they say, well, I'm getting old and this and the other. One thing I've read through the scripture, I never heard where you can retire. See, we don't have any retiring, spiritual retiring fund, like a Holy Ghost bank where you can go and draw or an account where after you get a certain age, then you can draw on the service that you once put in. No, we don't have that. We don't have that. You've got to continue the same after you get 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever it is. May not be as lively as you were, but still with the same testimony, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Where was I? We're coming along. Said, I will say the sixth verse of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. See, that's what you're here for. You're here for God's glory. Whatever else you may get along the way after your salvation, thank the Lord for that. But that's what you're here for. And as we go along, if you happen to get a hamburger, if you happen to get a glass of water, if you happen to get some shoes on your feet, thank the Lord. But the main thing that we're here for is the salvation. And I wish I could get this thing in folks' heads. And I won't say that only the young people are guilty of this. You know, they come along sometimes because they wonder where the other young people are going to be from this place, you know, and they want to meet. That's not what we're here for. First is for your salvation. Then if you happen to, after you come for your salvation, don't lose your salvation in meeting. But if you happen to have fellowship one with another, amen. Because we don't believe in courtship, you know. I thought I'd just throw that one in. Because when you're courting, you are neglecting your salvation. If you want a wife or a husband, the thing you had better do is pray and ask the Lord to raise up one for you or to give you one. See, when the Lord does it, the person may not even look like the type of one you had in mind. But eventually, before it's all over with, that's the one with whom you're going to be able to stay. And the one that's going to be compatible. But you select somebody, and the first few years or so, it is just beautiful. It's just like firecrackers on the 4th of July. Oh my, a lot of noise, and the beautiful sight explodes. But then, unfortunately, every day of the year is not the 4th of July.
Amen.
And when all that dies down, then you're going to look at that individual and say to yourself and to the Lord and anybody else who will listen, said, what was in my mind? We don't believe in that here in this church, folks having any kind of authority over anybody or any kind of restrictions on anybody and telling you who you can't talk with or who you can't have dinner with or something of this sort because you're supposed to be their girlfriend or you're supposed to be, no, not here. As long as they're in good standing, and you're single, and they are single, then you talk to anybody.
Amen.
Then if it just so happens that the Lord's will is that you both should be married, then he will make it plain, both to you and to us also.
Amen.
We don't have that stuff. That's of the world.
Amen.
And you see, and you're too worldly-minded, and you're judging things like the world. We don't have, only I'm the one to tell folks who they can't have fellowship with. You don't have that authority over anybody unless you're married to them. Now, when you're married to them, That's a different subject. Then the husband can say to his wife, thou shalt not. Then, no, you shall not talk to this one, or you shall not ride with that one, or you shall not eat with that one. Other than that, as long as your conversation is holy, you may talk to whomever you will, but it better be. When, you see, one thing is sure, that if you are reaching out to someone of the world and getting yourself so entangled with the world, then you are neglecting your salvation. You aren't doing anything for yourself. You're neglecting your salvation. Whenever you go out there and get yourself involved with the girls of the world. Now, isn't that something? You say to yourself, well, the brothers don't have much to do, much restriction on them. Because there's no scripture about their dress, but they still should use good judgment. Like I told them in Philadelphia, I don't mind the brothers having a full head of hair, for there's a difference in a full head and long hair. But when that hair gets so long till it comes over your eyes, then it's too long. And the reason why, from the beginning, I let the hair grow a little longer. For years, people, even with hair that was curly, were so ignorant that they believed that they didn't have good hair. They used to, folks would say, such and such one has good hair. Now, what is that? And the Lord said everything he did was good. So as not to be ashamed of it, you see. You don't be ashamed of nothing the way God made it and the way God did it. And another thing, our brother must make sure he doesn't look like he is a carousel, better known as a merry-go-round. You ever seen it? In other words, he's going to come with a red shirt, a lavender tie, and green shoes, and, my Lord. You get to the place that you, in other words, that you get in the middle and you say, well, I'm just going to discipline myself. I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm going to just be a temperate because I have the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to follow after every fashion of the world. You have a consideration. You know that the sisters must restrict themselves and say, I'm not going to let my liberty strangle her. She just look at it with envy and get strangled, you know. Therefore, when the young men of the apostolic faith, when they are making so much over the girls of the world, and here it is, the young ladies of the church adorning themselves in modest apparel, and they're not wearing pants, and they're not putting on all the makeup and all the this and all the other, and he must learn to see apostolic beauty. Amen. See, your concept of beauty is wrong. Your concept of beauty should be that which is beautified by salvation. Otherwise, you have neglected your salvation. And once that thing starts, It goes on and on and on and on. And if you ever marry unequally yoked, for there is by no means, when someone is in the church and marries, even claims to be, and marries someone out of the church, that anyone that is in the church can have any fellowship with them, to bid them in their house, to accept that union, or to bid them Godspeed. Even if it's your own children, you can't go to their wedding if they marry someone out of the faith, unequally yoked. No, you can't. And you shouldn't be participating, not when they claim to be in the church. I'm even reluctant when they have backslidden and marry somebody out there because they still know better. But because they're both sinners, I would reluctantly say, I wouldn't give too much for it that way, but that way they're both sinners. But here's somebody in the church, even if they're just baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they got more than that one out there. And there's no two ways about this. This is an ancient doctrine that started all the way back under the law and came on into grace. See, this is not something that somebody sent up a question and tried to get back on somebody. This thing was from ancient times. And the Lord knew, see, the Lord knows about that because, all right, if you marry unequal yoke, those children, see, the Bible speaks about their children shall be holy. Now, how are your children going to be holy when the wife goes to some false doctrine and you are supposed to be in the whole truth? And you know what's going to happen to the children? They're going to always follow the side that's weakest. You're going to tell the children at Christmas time they can't have a Christmas tree, they can't have this, they can't have the other, and they see all the other children doing it. Even the ones that have both apostolic parents have a battle because they go to public schools and they hear all of these things and they see all of these things. Now, naturally, when the wife, and first thing, she's not going to go for it, but before you get married, she'll promise you anything. You say, well, we don't believe in Christmas, and we couldn't have a Christmas tree. Is that all right with you? Oh, Christmas doesn't matter. They've made it so too commercial anyhow. Say, well, most of the saints would be offended, and notice I said most. They would be offended if they walked in and saw a television. Hey, what about that? Oh, it's nothing on. Wow, the programs are very boring. Not married yet. Say, well, you know, my mother and father belongs to the church, and I couldn't have you smoking in front of them and drinking in front of them, or wearing pants around in the house, you know. And I couldn't have you smoking in front of them and drinking in front of them, or wearing pants around in the house, you know, that would offend them. Said, oh, that's not necessary. Whenever they come, I would abide by the whatever you want me to do, and I won't wear pants.
What's my manager?
Partner?